Okay, we're ready for round two, huh? All right, marvelous. I see some people left after the first message, so I guess there must have been some challenge there or whatever, I don't know. But it's good to have you again to be with us. And as I was thinking about what I might cover now that we're done with the book of Ruth, I was thinking about it and I said, well, you know, we could do the book of Ezekiel or, you know, Isaiah or something. But, you know, I don't hear quite often enough maybe to do those. So I thought we'd look at another book related to the book of Ruth, in the period before the time of the judges, and that would be the book of Joshua. So I thought we'd go look at the book of Joshua together. I'm actually doing a study on Joshua actually this coming week. Next week I'll be up in Minnesota. I'll be doing a family camp up there, and I thought we'd look at the book of Joshua together up there. So I said, well, that might be a good book to actually start on here. It comes right to, like I said, a connection with Ruth, because this is the book where they get into the inheritance and take possession, right? And then you get into the situation with the judges and Ruth. And of course, Joshua is a book that is well known by many. If I were to ask you, you know, what are some of the things that you remember from the book of Joshua, or events from the book of? Anyone have an event they can remember from the book of Joshua? Yes.
Jericho.
Well, I thought that might be one of the ones you could pick out. And what happened in Jericho? The walls fell down. Right. That's the biggie. There's a song that goes along with that. Right. I didn't learn as a kid because I wasn't a believer as a kid. But you know, that's all right. Some of you may have learned that. Are there other events you can remember from the book of Joshua, or other things that from the book of Joshua besides Jericho? This is your chance to be involved. Any of the young people remember anything else?
I'm a young people.
Yes, young man. Do you remember something?
AI.
Oh, that was another one. Yes, AI was another one. Yeah, that's right. And the issue of the spear and so on that Joshua held. And of course, you remember then that in between those things, the story of Achan, right? Remember the story of Achan? That's a sad story, of course. We have that one. And then, of course, just following AI, then we have the issue of the sun and moon standing still, right? That's another a lot of folks know about that, very important event. And many others, right? The cities of refuge and all kinds of things we look at, Shiloh and whatever. And we'll get to those. But again, this is just going to be an overview. And so we'll just start with a little bit of an overview today. And then in the coming times when we come back, we'll try and do a little section, right, of each of the book. Just to give you a sense of how it's put together. And again, some practical lessons for us as well. So let's go over the book of Judges then. Joshua, excuse me. I'm just going to try to confuse you and see if you're awake. See if anyone would actually say anything. I wonder if I should have done that, right? Just to see what people would have done if I went over to the book of Judges. But book of Joshua, starting in chapter 1 and verse 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised of Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Be not dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Okay, so we'll stop there. Again, we're not going to read a lot today because we're going to just give you a sense of the book, just an overview of it, and some of the lessons that it will show us as we go along. The book is, I believe it's 24 chapters. And in the 24 chapters, we're going to divide it into two pieces, or two halves. And since I'm talking about two halves, in this case, it's actually two halves. It's 12 chapters and 12 chapters is how it'll be split. In the first 12 chapters, we'll be looking at the whole issue of taking possession of the land, right? And there'll be three key segments in that half, right, that we will talk about. And I'll mention them briefly toward in the middle of this as we go along. And then in the second half, we'll see something similar. We have 12 chapters and in separate sections. And so we'll probably look at six sections total, three in the first half, three in the second half. That's what we, at least that's the thinking anyway. We'll see how it goes. I guess a speaker has a right to change his mind as he goes along, I suppose, but we'll see how it happens. So here we just want to do an overview. And we would say then that this letter that we see, or this book, as we call it, a scroll back then, well, who is it written to anyway? I guess that's one of the questions you might want to look at. And we see, as we look at what we just read, he's talking to the nation of Israel, isn't he? He's talking to the tribes. And you see, he's talking to Joshua, and then just following his talk to Joshua, he's going to start talking to the tribes, right? Joshua is to start preparing the people. That is the Jewish people, right? So that's very important to see who it's written to. That's written to the nation of Israel. They've been brought out of Egypt, right? And they've come to the wilderness, and because of their unbelief, as we read in Hebrews, they also in Exodus and Numbers, but because of their unbelief, now they've wandered in the desert a total of 40 years, right? And now they're going to come into the land. So that gives us a sense of where we're at. The nation of Israel is being dealt with, so that's very important to see. So as we begin to think about what happens there over our next number of sessions in the series, we have to keep that in mind. But there are practical lessons for us as well. And then also in this whole thing, now that if it's written to the Israelites, then we recognize, too, that there's a change of leadership, right? If in Exodus and so on, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, we have Moses, those first five books, right? That when we come to Joshua, now we have Joshua's leadership. We're moving now from Moses to Joshua. That's going to be very important to see. From Moses, the man, of course, who represents the law and all that it has, a good thing, of course, it shows, though, that the law cannot get us into the inheritance, can it? That Joshua, does anyone remember what Joshua's name means? Oh, no one can guess it. Jehovah saves, or Jehovah is salvation, right? Very good. And so now we're moving from law, well, to Jehovah saves by grace, doesn't he? Jehovah saves. We're going to go now from Moses, who could not get the people in the land, to Joshua, who can get them in the land. And it's true for us today, isn't it? The law cannot get us, cannot save us, can it? Our brother mentioned it this morning, if you're here. The law can't save us, but Jesus can save us, right? Because his name means, well, that's the same name, isn't it? Joshua, right? In the book of Hebrews, the name Joshua is mentioned, right? And so you have to be careful, right? Which Jesus is it talking about, right? Is it talking about the Old Testament Joshua, or is it talking about the New Testament one, right? And so when it says Joshua, you have to look at it carefully and deal with the issue of Jesus. Well, we see then we're moving from Moses to Joshua, and then we'd say there are three things in each half. One is, of course, we want to establish the new land, don't we? And so in the first half of the book, we're going to first of all establish Gilgal. Number one, right? Establish Gilgal, the camp, the place we're going to live in. Right? And that'll be in this land of the inheritance. Now, you may recall, I talked about the inheritance of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 4. I think it was 6 or 7 years ago. Do you remember me doing that? but I did. Okay, so I only did verse 4 alone, right? I took a whole hour to look at just verse 4. Okay, I'm not going to do that this time, but I did that a ways back. We'll touch on it at some point. But we have the issue of the establishing of the camp, Gilgal. Number two, then, we're going to have the establishing of the law afterward, right? That once they get the camp established, now their goal is to establish the law. That is, they're going to go to Gerizim and Ebal, right? Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal, and establish the law. And then number three, they're going to take full possession of the inheritance, right? Establish the inheritance itself. God's already given it to them, right? But now they have to go take possession of it. At least in a basic way. That's the first half of the book that we'll be looking at, three sections. Then in the second half, we'll have, and this is connected with the first half, that first one, they're going to establish Shiloh, which really goes with this first half of the book, really. But they're also going to then take further possession, or more full, we might say the tribes are going to get their lots, right? I should say it that way. That is, we're going to actually establish the fact that each tribe has its own inheritance, along with Shiloh being established in verse 1 of chapter 18. I think it is. Maybe it is chapter 18. But establishing Shiloh and so on. And then we have the cities of refuge will be established later on in the second half of the book. And then, of course, the last part, the two and a half tribes go back to the east side. And we have the nation now in its inheritance, right? Established in its inheritance. Those are the things we'll cover as we look at the details, establishing these things. And, of course, the ones who will be doing it are the ones who went through the wilderness, right? Those that were 20 years of age and younger who survived the wilderness experience, along with Caleb and Joshua, right, which were older. Right? At this age, they'll be now about 80 years of age, right, probably in there somewhere. We know Caleb's age. We know that much. And so we have that the situation. You might ask, when was it written? Well, you know, I think it was around 1400 B.C. Were any of you here back then? Maybe you might know better. I don't know. But 1400 B.C., thereabouts. 1406, many suggest, thereabouts. And again, you know, who was it written by? Well, we get the sense that Joshua is giving firsthand testimony, it seems. Certainly it was during the life of Joshua, the whole book. And also perhaps during the, it does talk about his death, right? So obviously the elders or somebody else at least added in his death, right? So we would see that. We see nothing about the temple, so we probably would say the temple has not been built yet or anything like that. This is not Solomon's time, so on. And so nothing like that. Like I said, Joshua talks about we and so on in the book in several places. So we'd say Joshua at least wrote some of it, if not most of it. But his death is recorded in chapter 24, and no doubt an elder. I don't think he probably wrote about his own death. Someone else probably added that at the end. But we can't be dogmatic. So that's what we have. Let's say then the purpose of the book. We should probably at least note something about the purpose. Obviously to get an inheritance, take possession of a land. And, in fact, if we look at chapter 1, verse 11, I think it is. I didn't go all the way down there. He says, verse 11 of chapter 1, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over the Jordan to go to take possession of the land that the Lord your God the land of the Lord your God is giving you to possess." So there we are, right? That's the purpose, is go in and take possession of the land. Why do you need 24 chapters to do that? Well, we'll get into that. But you'll see, the Israelites always make it very interesting. But we would too, wouldn't we? And so we'll take a further look at that. So God gives it to them. We see then it's the purpose to give the land, and God gives it, right, in verse 11 there. God says he'll dispossess the ones that currently have it. And that's God's prerogative, isn't it? It's God's land, right? God created the earth, and he can give it to who he wants. Some people may not like that. They might say, well, geez, they were there first. Well, no, God gave that to Abraham, didn't he? You see, that land was actually given to Abraham and his seed. Now, others have taken it over by this time, but God says, no, they're not going to keep it. I gave it to them. And so these, of course, had their opportunity to get to know God, and they refused to know him. They do all kinds of evil things. This whole society is just corrupt, the Canaanite society. They burn their children in the fire and all kinds of wicked stuff. I mean, just things you wouldn't even want to know about. It's just crazy stuff. And so he's going to dispossess them. We see that. We'll see more about that in chapter 3. God dries up the Jordan, of course, to make that happen. And, of course, he gives them the enemy, right? Basically, they're able to take the enemy. So that's the purpose. We've already looked at, in Ruth, the importance of the inheritance. That will save us a little bit of time, won't it? But we want to note, of course, the importance of the inheritance to the people. Remember, there are three things that God was going to do when he brought them out of the land. That were three things about his character in relation to them. This comes out in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Okay. In chapter 6, verse 6, he says, "Now I'm going to free you from the Egyptian. I'm going to bring you out," he says. Now, I may have mentioned this in the past. "But I'm going to bring you out from the from under the Egyptians, out of bondage." That was verse 6 of chapter 6 of Exodus. And sadly, many people stop right there. That is, many people say, "Well, okay, that's very nice. You got me out of bondage. Hey, let me do what I want." Isn't that what we want, really? Right? Our flesh says, "Well, yeah, I want to be saved. But really, you know what? I want to be able to do what I want after that." See? That's what the flesh says. But that's not the gospel, is it? You know, save me. The gospel's not, "Save me, Lord, and let me go and do what I want afterward." No, the Lord doesn't say that. He saves us. He is saving us and will save us, won't he? Three aspects of salvation, we might say. There's the past, the present, and the future. And so the past is, the past will have been, I'll bring you out of Egypt. But during this wilderness experience, I'm going to be with you. That's verse 7 of chapter 6. I will be with you. I will be your God. You see, some people don't want that. They want to be able to do what they want. But if God is with us, we realize our life has to change, doesn't it? We can't just do what we want. And that's one of the challenges. Because you can't have just part of the message, can you? You can't say, "Save me," and go party afterward, right? That's what people are sort of somewhat concerned about, right? This idea that, well, you know, I can get saved when I'm 95, and I will have partied all my life, and I'll get saved when I'm older. Well, you see, you don't know if you're going to be older. You have no idea whether you'll live that long, right? Brother Neil we were chatting last night about this young man, right? I think he was 16, wasn't he, in that car accident, right? 16 years of age, right? And, during a rainstorm, evidently had a head-on collision, right, with another car. Very sad. Three people died in that. Right? He survived. But you see, I wonder if those three people, one was a sister or whatever, two of them were young. One was a little older. Man, the firefighter was a little older. And I wonder if they knew that day that it was going to be the end of their life. Don't think they knew it. Can you imagine, especially the young girl, right? All the whole life before, right? Teenager, perhaps. Sister, I think it was. Dead. And what do you do? And what if he had died then? I don't know. They may have been saved. I don't know. But you say, you don't know when, do you? And it's good to be saved today. Well, you can. Because you don't know what the future holds, the next hour or so. You don't know. So we see then he would be with them. He would save them and be with them. And he does the same for us today. And then thirdly, he will get them to the resting place, right? The inheritance. That's part of the message, isn't it? That we don't just get saved and then do what we want in the world and whatever happens, happens. No. He's with us and he will get us to the end of the journey. That's very important in Joshua to see. So we have the importance of the inheritance. We talked about all that in relation to the book of Ruth. And that saves us a little time. So I won't go back into all the details there. But then we want to just note again in this first half of the book that we're going to be looking at three key pieces that we've already mentioned establishing certain things, but they also form a parallel. You see, you probably want to, you knew that was coming, didn't you? That each of these sections forms a parallel. And I'll give you maybe a chart next time. I'll bring a chart with me when we start the first section. And so you'll want to be here for that. But you see, in chapters 1 through 4, they are to do something, right? In this case, they want to cross the Jordan, right? Chapters 1 through 4, the goal is to get across the Jordan. You see, if they're going to establish the camp, they got to get across the Jordan, right? So the objective really in this case, in the first 4, is just to get across the Jordan and get into the camp. That's very nice. And then, of course, we said establishing the law is the second goal, right? And then, of course, taking possession is the third goal, the initial possession of the land, right? Those are the three goals, chapters 1 through 4, basically chapters 5 through 8, chapters 9 through 12, right? Three goals. And in each case, there's a difficulty. That is always something in the way. We might say there's an obstacle, all right? And the same happens to us today, isn't it? Doesn't it? I mean, you see, we have certain things we want to do each day, or God said, you know, let's do this today or whatever, or for your maybe the next month or so, whatever. You have these things you want to do, and then sometimes obstacles are put in the way. And what will we do? In each of these cases, an obstacle presents itself. Whether it's the Jordan River, or whether it's Jericho and Ai, as was mentioned, or the armies of the north and south, whatever, there are obstacles in the way, aren't there, to continuing on to get to our inheritance. And it's true for us today. To get our inheritance, there are things that are in the way sometimes, obstacles in the way. And the question is, how will we overcome, brethren, the obstacle, right? Practically speaking for us now, how will we overcome these obstacles that come in our way and our journey? And your answer would be, well, the Lord can help us, can't he? And so in each of these obstacles, God will intervene, won't he? And show that he will help them to make it through the journey and get the full inheritance. Right? He will make it work, right? So you see, God helps us on the journey. He overcomes obstacles. If we try to do it in the flesh, it doesn't usually go so well, does it? But with him, we can overcome them. Then we'll learn some lessons about preparation. You see, in each of those sections, we're going to find that Joshua prepares the people. Sometimes he goes to God first, and sometimes he doesn't. And we'll see the difference. You see, preparation becomes key, doesn't it? If we're not prepared, then how are we going to make it in this world? And especially for young people today, right? You know, they may have a full life ahead of them. Maybe the Lord has many years for them. And you think about it, how will they overcome all the things that are going on in the world today, the difficulties of the world? And but they need to be prepared. And that means, as they're doing today, getting some teaching, maybe reading the Bible, praying. They have to prepare for what's going to happen in this world. Because the world doesn't seem to be getting any better, does it? Seems like it seems to be going down the tubes, as we say in our vernacular. Struggles. Well, we can overcome them by looking to God and being prepared. So we'll have to look at preparation in each of our sections, how God prepares or how Joshua prepares the people and so on. Sometimes they use their own thinking, right? And it doesn't go so well. And they have to go back to what God would have them to do. We'll see more about that. Again, we see this in chapter 1 and onward. We'll see more about it. But in chapter 1, we already saw right near the beginning. In fact, I can mention it again there. I think it's in verse 10, right? Yeah, starting in verse 10, now Joshua begins to command the people, right? And he tells them about preparing, verse 11, right? We read it already, right? Prepare your provisions, right? And a number of times through the book, especially early on in the book, the idea of these people preparing themselves to go and do different things will become extremely important. So we want to mention the issue of preparation comes out. One of the things we'll learn also as we look at these three sections, this first half, is how God saves before he judges. It's a great thing, isn't it? What a great thing for us as well, right? That God will always provide opportunities to be saved before judgment comes. And we'll see it at least two or three times here in this first half, probably once in each section, right? We know Rahab, right? Rahab's another one of those big events, right? Stories, right? Rahab gets saved. Israel gets saved, doesn't it, from the flood of the Jordan, right? Israel gets saved. Rahab gets saved. The Gibeonites get saved, right? People are getting saved. Isn't it marvelous? And you see, Israel gets saved before the flood of the Jordan comes back. And Rahab gets saved before the walls fall down and they're judged by the Israelites coming and destroying them. And so on, right? All saving over the Gibeonites, right? They come and to Joshua and they get saved at Gilgal, don't they? Before the rest of the nations are destroyed around them. Salvation comes before judgment. What a great, great lesson for us there. And So finally, we would say in this first half, in relation to what's going to happen in each section, we'll always see a note about the fact that Joshua did as Moses had said. Or as Jehovah said to Moses, I should say, right? So you'll see in each of these sections a comment made that Joshua basically did what Jehovah had said through Moses. So we see the connection to Moses, don't we? Moses couldn't get them in, yet what he had to say was very important in getting it done. And they had to follow what Moses commanded from Jehovah. So we see then those things come out there in chapters 1 through 12, that those first three sections that'll come out. So with that in mind, we want to note too, in fact I think I already mentioned some things from the second half. There will be some other things in the second half that are more involved. How do we figure them out? The cities of refuge, how they work and things like that. We'll talk all about that. But not too much detail, but to give you a sense to how, why is all that there? And why do we have the 2.5 tribes that go back east and they build an altar and whatever and all the issues? There's lots of things that go on there in the second half. But I probably could mention a few things in the second half that just to note them. First of all, you're going to see there's a bookend with the first section of the first half of the book. And then we'll see a bookend with the other half, because the 2.5 tribes that are east are mentioned in both cases and dealt with, right? They're charged in both cases. And so we'll see a set of bookends there with the 2.5 tribes. Plus, we'll see a little bit in the middle as well, the 2.5 tribes. But we'll get into all that as well. And we'll look at, how the inheritance is divided. We have the 2.5 tribes east already. Then we'll see 2.5 tribes, 2.5 more tribes get their inheritance. And then we'll see the final 7 tribes, right, get theirs. But there seems to be some space in between, like some time in between. And unfortunately, we're going to learn some sad lessons where they don't do the complete job, right? Very important practical lesson for us to do. When God asks us to do something, do it completely, right? They don't, of course, and that leads to all kinds of problems, not only initially, but down the road. You'll see more about that as we look at it. So we have those are some of the issues in the second half of the book, and we'll see some parallels, not a lot of parallels, but we'll see a few parallels that go on there in the second half of the book. So then I would say then in this little overview, these are the practical lessons then. And we've already covered them then looking at this first half. We need to keep in mind that we are on a journey together, aren't we? That these people had to realize, and we'll get this into this in the first 4 chapters when we cover it next time, but they had to recognize that they were doing this together. They couldn't just willy-nilly do what they wanted, right? And remember, the 2.5 tribes east, they couldn't just say, well, very nice, you guys, we got our inheritance, we'll see you later. Right? They couldn't do that, right? But yeah, maybe you want to do that, right? But God doesn't want us to work that way, does he? And so we're all in this together, aren't we? We're all working together, and as believers, we're all looking forward to getting to the full possession of the inheritance, aren't we? We're looking for that day, and we're helping one another get there, aren't we? That's going to be one of the great lessons we'll see in the first half of the book. And we see it already because, you see, he's already brought them out of from Exodus, already out of Egypt, in the wilderness, and getting them an inheritance. And he wants them to do it together. And when they started murmuring, well, the judgment didn't just fall on one few that murmured, right? It affected everybody, didn't it? And so we're on a journey together. Number two, I would say that we need to fear God, not fear the enemy. Remember we read in chapter 1, there the first 8 verses or so, that he said, be of good courage, right? Several times, probably 3 times at least in that chapter, right? Be strong and of good courage. Is mentioned a number of times to just encourage Joshua. Keep on going. Follow me. Fear me, Joshua, right? I'm the captain, right? We see later on the captain of the host is there in that section. And Joshua's to follow him. Fear of God rather than fear of the enemy. The enemy would like to have us fear him, wouldn't he? And so you see in each case, we're going to see also brought out in each of those sections in that first half that the enemy has all the world fearful, right? The kings and the people are all fearful. And God's saying to them, to us, be not fearful, right? Be, you know, basically reverence me, fear of me, not fear of the world and the enemy. So I think that's another one as well. Thirdly, we already mentioned that we can overcome obstacles in God's strength, can't we? We can't do it ourselves. It's only in His strength that we can do it. Preparation, we mentioned, is essential. We'll see that again as we look at the three sections in the first half of the book. We mentioned salvation for judgment. We've already looked at that issue. And we mentioned, of course, that the objective, basically going back to what God had said to Moses, right? We already mentioned that as well. Great lesson for us as we look at that first half of the book. And then finally, we achieve our objectives, don't we? And it becomes sort of interesting because at the end of that section, the first half of the book, it says, well, they had rest. And you're going to say, well, wait a minute, Brother Ed, then if they already had rest, then why all that? What's the last 12 chapters about? Well, what's going on there if they've already got rest? Well, that'll be important to see, won't it? In what way did they have rest? You see, they were still going to be doing a lot of fighting afterward, weren't they? And how about us? Are you resting today? Well, there is a way you rest. Aren't you resting in Jesus? But you're not done fighting yet, are you? Isn't there still spiritual warfare going on, isn't there? And there is, isn't there? So there is a sense then, we'll see here, physically, for us spiritually today, that we have a rest, don't we, in Christ? And we can enter that rest in some small way. And yet, we're not fully at rest, are we? There's still spiritual warfare going on. And so we'll see those great lessons come out here as well. But we do look forward to that day that we'll have full rest, won't we? But yet, we already have some rest in Him, don't we, in a sense? It's a done deal, isn't it, that we have rest? So I hope these things, as we've looked at it practically, just a little overview, will be helped to you, and that we'll be able to come back. I think it's in November we'll be back, and we'll take a little further look then at least the first section, if we can, of the first half of the book, the first four chapters, for those who want to prepare for when I'll be back. I believe it's in November. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord's help with these things, and we'll go from there. Father, we thank You again for our time, and we thank You for this book now, Joshua. And we see the connection with the book of Ruth, the inheritance, and how important it is. And how getting that inheritance back for Ruth was extremely, for Naomi and Ruth, was very, very, very important. Father, may we be those who do not sell the inheritance. We have a spiritual inheritance in Christ Jesus, we know. And we know there's great lessons here practically for us. As these folks looked at the journey together and how they struggled sometimes, Lord, may we be in this journey together. May we love one another, care about one another, help each other along the way so that we all will arrive at the end of the journey blessed and encouraged to be an inheritance. And may we fear You. May we reverence You. And may we overcome the obstacles of this world by looking to You for our strength. And may we prepare appropriately. May we be in the Scriptures reading. Help the young people as well to be reading and praying that they might be prepared to encounter the enemy in this world. And we thank You for the salvation we have. We know judgment's coming. And we thank You for what You've shown us. We thank You for the rest that we have in Christ Jesus and look forward to that fuller rest we'll have someday when all will be done and we will enjoy our time with You and with the Lord Jesus. Until then, help us then in this world as we travel together. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.